Stranger Danger safety keychains. What is that? These are safety keychains that the founder, Robin, started making for her daughters. She's got two that are nurses and one is a teacher. So she felt that she could help them out a little bit when they're out and about. And in return, that makes her feel a lot better. These safety keychains come with several safety features. A personal alarm, a whistle, hand sanitizer, a hands-free door opener with a stylus to push elevator doors open, or you can use it on your phone, and a car safety tool which cuts the seatbelt and breaks glass in an emergency. If you want to feel safer or keep a loved one safer, visit StrangerDangerSafetyKeychain.com. That's StrangerDangerSafetyKeychain.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. That's where I found her. So check them out. When ordering, definitely don't forget to use the promo code KILLERSTCP. Get 10% off, free shipping. And always remember, stay safe out there. Hey guys, do you want to hear your ads here? We definitely can add some ads into here for you. Just hit us up, killersallaroundus@gmail.com. We can work some things out. We have a 30-second slot up to a minute. Hit us up.
Woo woo!
What's up?
What's up, guys? We were just talking about Israel Keys. It has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
Nothing.
But, you know, you gotta mentally prepare for the bullshit. So, what's up, guys?
Yeah. I mean, she told me not to say it, but it's been a while. I mean, I do apologize, but it's been a while, guys. I hate it for us. I hate it for you.
We're so glad to be back, though.
For sure. I've missed it. I've missed the recording. I've had this episode queued for a while, but, you know, life, and we'll get to the next episode here soon, because I got that one queued up for you, too, and it's a good one. So,
we're excited. Yeah, so
I'm super excited about that one, too, and today.
Yeah, and then I've got something that I've got lined up for my next case that I want to start working on, so yeah, we definitely got some new material coming out, and it's going to be great. But you have something that you wanted to share before we dive in, right?
I have a couple things. First, I seen an article the other day saying that in Chicago, bodies were washing up on the shore of Lake Michigan along Chicago's rivers. So I immediately think, what the fuck's going on in Chicago to have these bodies just surfacing? It was like four bodies.
What the fuck?
That just floated up to shore. So I'm thinking, killer, serial killer, who's killing these people? Oh my God, what the fuck's going on?
Because that's where all of our mind goes. But ours, as in like people that are probably listening to this podcast and us that are doing it. So
exactly. So my original thought, you know, like I said, killer. But I go to find an article. It was published April 28th, 2022. It wraps up the whole thing saying that the bodies were washing up to shore from people who's drowned over the last 2 years. So they're saying that they've had about 70 people who's drowned since 2020. And that the bodies were in the lake already, and that the lake froze, and after it thawed back out, the bodies started decomposing. So the freezing water kept them, you know, in good condition so that their bodies wouldn't, you know, decomp.
Because that's instantly where my mind went. I was like, well, how would that happen? Because if it was out in the elements, then the ocean creatures would...
Well, it's a lake, but... I believe in lake monsters.
Well, and fish, and those animals, like, I meant animal, I keep saying animals, but that...
And shit, that Mothman shit they told us about when we went, Don't want to think about that guy.
I fucking hate.
And the lake monster.
Bodies of water are scary.
They have lake monsters, but we you know, can't go there today.
That is nuts, though, because so their bodies were frozen.
Frozen over the winter.
But my whole thing is, so they were all just like floating out there for whatever reason that they died or got dropped out.
Drowned or something, yep.
They froze. And then they all started washing up at the same time because...
After the water thawed back up. They started decomping and, you know, the body bloats and starts floating. Floated up to shore. And literally, in the article, it said that the body popped up one day. The same day, it was literally within an hour, another body popped up. The next day, another body popped up. And then a week later is when the last body was found. So it was literally like 2 days of just dead bodies floating up.
Yeah, no, if you were like somebody working that scene, that would be mind blowing. You'd be so mind fucked. You'd be like, wait.
Trauma.
Body. We got another body that just came
That's
out.
That's trauma right there.
We just
there.
Got another body get back to back. And then a week later, like, when you think it's like, we got another, like, wow, that is... That
drama.
Absolutely insane. So I wonder if any, I think it'd be interesting to see if any families came forward to identify these bodies as like people that were, you know, I mean, I would hope that these people would be reported missing by someone. But that would be interesting to think about, you know what I mean? For people to verify these individuals.
Yeah, for sure. Cause I mean, the only thing like, They would have to have a missing persons report or something.
I mean,
or a last seen at you know, the lake or drowning events that happened at the lake they would know about, you know.
Yeah.
Because those get reported. If somebody drowns in the lake, I mean, Lake Michigan is a tough lake to be swimming in. You can't go just like a normal swim. The undertow will take you into deep in the water. So,
yeah,
it's a tricky one.
Yeah, I have no doubt about any bodies of water and what those entail. My whole thing is, it's just, I bet coming across that was wild.
Wild as fuck. You know, that's like crazy. That. Like I said, that's trauma right there. Sorry for whoever had to find those bodies. If it was the same person, God, see a therapist, because that's fucked up.
I mean, probably, I'm just even anyone involved, like the police officers, the first responders, the families of the people. Because, I mean, you don't expect to hear, like, 4 or 5 months later that your loved one just unthawed.
Right.
From the water, and they've been out there frozen this whole time.
Right.
That's like, fucked. What? Like, that is so fucked up.
Fucked.
Like, oh yeah, by the way, can you please come identify this body, like, that's been frozen?
I can't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine. Yeah. Like, that thought right there is just, is crazy. But like I said, I mean, it probably was from people who's already,
natural.
You know, been drowned, yeah. And they've been reported as a drowned victim. I didn't see that any of the bodies had been identified yet, so I'll keep you kind of posted if I find that as well.
But also, it's a very, very good plot, though, right?
Plot twist, right?
No, you know,
you thought it was a serial killer.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. It still very much could be. You know, this would be a great way.
You're not wrong.
A great way to disguise this.
You are not wrong, because in the article, guys, it did say that they did not release anyone's cause of death.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there could be some foul play involved in this still, I believe.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. But, you know.
Because it could be explained away. All
you
of
know,
it. Like, you just explained it away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that makes me question.
And then, you know, Chicago's had a serial killer strangler or whatever since 2001. And killing over 50 women since 2001. So, I mean, who knows? They haven't released the cause of death.
And then big cities like that, you don't really...
Let's just explain away 4 bodies rolling up on the shore, guys.
Sounds about the easiest thing to just do instead of actually have to do any work.
Agreed.
Anyways, that is crazy. Thank you for finding that article, because, wow.
Yeah, crazy,
now
right?
Now I'm traumatized, but it's fine.
Right. So, I also wanted to share with you guys this message I got from an Instagram friend, or should I say an Insta-friend.
Insta-friend, hello.
Her name was Renee Rodriguez. Hey, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
So, she messaged me and said, I'm on a weekend trip in St. Louis and heard a fight at the grocery store. Then when I got back to my hotel room, there was a woman yelling in the elevator that her room was robbed. Hashtag time to go home.
Oh my God. Welcome to Louie. Like, literally, guys, like you said.
Sounds about right. Glad to know this. The Lou showed you a good time.
Yes, man. For sure. Because, No, that sounds completely about right.
Renee, we
spot on.
We gotcha. We know.
We're not really sure why people always like want to come vacation here, to be honest. But we moved here, so here we are.
Yeah.
But that's hilarious, though. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Good thing you made it home safe to send me that Instagram message. I appreciate it. I really loved when I seen that and got a good smile from it.
Yeah. You rock.
Definitely. So, today, this episode of Killers All Around Us is going to be a little bit different. You know, we all think about killers and some, you know, something that's gruesome or a serial killer like Ted or Dennis, you know, Sparky Big Time. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
But listen to me here. What if actually you are your killer? So, a self-murderer. A self-annihilator, maybe? No? You don't like those terms?
No, that's crazy.
Today,
I'm a self-murderer, I think.
You're a self-murderer?
I don't know. Let's see.
Today, I want to talk about a few possible triggers for some. So, this is your trigger warning, trigger warning, trigger warning.
And what kind of trigger warning?
You will find out.
You asked me that the last episode, too. And I was like, I don't really want to tell it because that kind of tells you what's going to happen, so...
For sure, but this is a trigger. So, in today's episode, I want to talk about suicides and what could lead to these tragic self-inflicted deaths. Your face, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's fucked.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mind-boggle you today.
Was not expecting that.
So... Let's start with a vocab lesson, guys, you know, obviously, because we're smart. A suicide attempt is a clear indication that something is gravely wrong in a person's life, no matter the race, age of the person, no matter how rich, no matter how poor they are. It's not crazy to say that some people who die by suicide have mental or emotional disorders. Defined by the CDC, suicide is a death caused by injuring oneself with intent to die. A suicide attempt is when someone harms themselves with any intent to end their life, but they do not die as the result of their actions. So, a suicide and a suicide attempt there, guys.
Yep.
Many factors, you know, increase the risk of suicide in people who have experienced violence, including child abuse, bullying, sexual violence, have had higher suicide risks. Suicide is responsible for more than 47,500 deaths in 2019.
Wow.
That is about one death every 11 minutes.
Wow.
So let's take a second there and say one death every 11 minutes. So by the time of this end of this podcast, I don't know how many times you can count 11 minutes, but it's fucked. Suicide rates increased 33% between 1999 and 2019, with a small decline in 2019. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. The CDC also reported in 2019, 12 million American adults seriously thought about suicide, 3.5 million planned a suicide attempt, and 1.4 million attempted suicide. Wow.
It's like, yeah, it sucks to think that so many people have these thoughts. Like, people feel like they're alone in this way of thinking and we all feel.
Yeah.
Like,
suicide affects all ages and is, like I said, the second leading cause of death in people ages 10 to 34. It's the fourth leading cause among people ages 35 to 44, and the fifth leading cause among people 45 to 54.
Which is still pretty high.
That's still pretty high among all of those age groups. And me being in the 10 to 34 currently, like, what am I, 34 right now? I don't know. So it's kind of crazy to me that says that's the second leading cause of death for those people. And then now I'm just moving to second to fourth. So I don't know. I'm kind of weary because those are still pretty close numbers to one.
Yeah, for sure. Uncomfortably close.
Yeah. So suicide rates vary by race, ethnicity, age, and other factors as well. The highest rates are among American Indian, Alaskan Native, and non-Hispanic white populations. This is not to say other Americans with higher than average rates of suicide aren't suffering and taking their lives as well, such as like the veterans and the LGBTQ community and other young people. So I want to take a pause here because, I mean, it's all been pretty deep since I've started. I do want to give everyone this information. If you have or know someone who has expressed suicide ideals, contact, please, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can use the online Life Crisis Chat. Both are free and confidential. You'll be connected to a skilled, trained counselor in your area. For more information, you can also connect 24/7, so anytime, any day, to a crisis counselor by texting the crisis text line, and all you would need to do is text HOME, H-O-M-E, HOME, to the number 741-741.
Yeah, keep that. I feel like everyone should kind of keep that handy, you know? You never know when you might need to give that to someone.
Right.
Or use it.
Definitely, because, I mean,
they'll listen to those stats. I mean,
yeah, definitely. It's never a bad thing to have just on hand, you know, because you never really know, especially if you've had those suicide ideations and thoughts. You definitely want to, you know, make sure you get help before something happens. Celebrities are often affected by mental health problems, and unfortunately, in some cases, this leads to suicide. Celebrities are faced with stresses and anxieties that life throws at them, just like any human. I want to discuss some famous suicides and what may have led to their tragic end. When a famous person takes their life, the world is left in shock.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, I don't really understand why, because I've heard being famous is very, I mean, a celebrity is very isolating, and you feel like you're always being, you know, stared
judged
at.
Judged, and like, you have to live your life a certain way and be perfect.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, yeah, like this, it seems like they have like a great life, but in all reality, it's a lot of pressure.
Right, right. The first celebrity, you know, I want to talk about here was the late, great Robin Williams.
Yeah, that was a terrible loss.
Man, when Robin Williams took his life, his followers were devastated. And anyone who has ever seen one movie, you know, like One Hour Photo when he was the creeper stalking the woman.
I don't know her family.
You don't know One Hour Photo?
No.
He was literally a creeper stalking the woman and her family through her photos that she had been taking over the years. He becomes super aggressive and obsessed, like, way before Beyonce was obsessed.
Oh.
But yes, that movie, if you haven't seen it, we're going to watch it again.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that, but yeah.
I'm sure you know a couple yourself. Mrs. Doubtfire. He's like, okay. Woo!
Oh, I love Mrs. Doubtfire.
That was my fucking shit. And then, you know, Jack. Have you seen that one?
Mm-hmm.
When he's in a body, his body ages faster than the normal rate. He had a 40-year-old body at the age of 10.
Yeah, that was crazy. And that's just to name like a few.
Just a couple of my childhood. Sorry, guys. That was my Robin Williams childhood right there. So, flashback.
Yes.
So, Robin Williams, unfortunately, was found dead in his home in Sorry, we paused for a second, and Katie told me I was through a loop with this case today, or with this topic today. I'm sure I've thrown a lot of you through a loop. I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, I know you expect to hear about a gruesome killer today, but you'll get one next week, because I'm sure I'll be done with the episode and get you going next week. Don't worry, guys.
No, it's not even just that for me. It's just, like, the reality, and it's really sad. But it's real shit, and people need to hear about it, and even if it makes you uncomfortable, we need to have these conversations, so that way people don't feel alone.
So that you know somebody's out there.
Yeah, like, there's resources out there to help, and you should never have to feel that way. So, I mean, I feel like I completely 100% and support this episode. Because people need it.
Exactly. I agree. Let's go back to the sad story here. So, Robin Williams was found dead, unfortunately, in his home in Paradise Cay, California. On August 11th, 2014, he was actually found by his assistant who picked the lock to get in the home after his wife had already left for the day. The actor was discovered in a seated position on the floor with a belt around his neck, and the other end was secured between the closet door and the door frame. Investigators later found cuts on his left wrist. Tragically, it was confirmed that Robin Williams died by suicide at the age of 63. The talented comedian and Academy Award-winning actor struggled with alcoholism and a cocaine addiction early on in his career. He only quit because of the death of a friend, you know, John Belushi, from things like, you know, SNL and Animal House, John Belushi, that guy. And
just him.
Just that guy. But later on in his life, Robin would go on to have his struggles with mental health and physical ailments. Even though Robin, you know, his long battle with depression, his wife Susan said that he never expressed suicidal thoughts or behaviors. 3 months prior to his death, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, a disorder, you know, that actually affects the central nervous system. It affects the way you move, often includes, like, tremors and things like that. So
that's, you know, a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, that's not, you know, fun, I'm assuming, to hear or to go through.
Yeah, no, I've known a few people that have suffered from it, and it's,
tragic.
Very hard to deal with.
He had signs of increased paranoia, according to a medical history authority recorder that was at the scene. I've never heard of that position. I don't know what it takes to be a medical history authority recorder on the scene. Hmm. But on a chair near his body, there was an iPad, which contained no information related to the suicide, actually. He had nothing on it. He also had two kinds of antidepressants, which were prescribed to him, and a pocket knife with his blood on it. So, he had those cuts. He had a pocket knife. That's where the blood came from, I'm assuming. Since the actor was clearly already gone, no attempts to revive him were made. And he was declared dead at 12:02 p.m. The reports state that there were no signs of foul play at the scene, and the autopsy confirmed that he only had caffeine and the prescribed antidepressant medicine and a medication to treat Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
So just his literal prescribed medicine. The autopsy also confirmed Robin's cause of death as suicide by asphyxiation due to hanging. This was not the only thing the autopsy revealed, though. This brought out that Robin was misdiagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
What?
He was actually suffering from Lewy body dementia.
Oh my god, I don't know what that is.
Lewy body dementia.
Isn't it crazy how doctors can just be like, oh, whoops.
You have this. You
not like that's funny at all, but just like, you have something completely different.
Uh-huh.
But been there.
Been there, felt like. Right.
So it's a guessing game sometimes.
Yeah, so with, you know, the Lewy body dementia, actually, that is a disease. It's associated with abnormal deposits of protein, and I won't be butchering the word. It's right there.
Alafacinesalin.
Girl, go ahead.
I'm just kidding.
In the brain, so those deposits, which you just said, say it again.
Alafacinesalin.
You fucked it up.
Okay.
So those deposits affect chemicals in the brain, which can lead to problems thinking, moving, behavior, and mood. This disease has a heavy toll it takes on you. And it certainly got the best of Robin.
That is crazy, and he didn't even know he had it.
Right. They misdiagnosed him. Doctors believe Robin put up an impressive fight. Tragically, no one knew what disease was truly affecting Robin. Robin's wife, Susan, was quoted by allthatinteresting.com saying that it was not the depression that killed Robin. Depression was one of, let's call it, 50 symptoms. That was a small one. So, to put it in somewhat of a perspective for, you know, what he was actually dealing with in the end, Susan and her family were basically saying, you know, it's depression is like a piece
of what happened to
him. A piece of everything he was going through. So,
yeah.
Pretty fucked up, I believe.
Yeah. There's like, I like how they worded that because it's so true. Like, when people, obviously, people that commit suicide have some sort of depression, but there are so many things.
Other things going on, other, you know, issues.
So many things that, you know, stem from that depression. And yeah, that's fucked.
So, Susan and her family have been doing their part at keeping Robin's memory alive for years after his death. Of course, you know, we'll never forget that fucking national treasure, Robin Williams, guys.
Literally.
He's a national fucking treasure, guys. We'll never forget him.
And yeah, I was about to say, I don't think that, like, his fans will let his legacy die.
I told you, we're watching 1 hour photo now, since you said you hadn't seen it. We're watching
it.
Well,
I mean, honestly,
I thought I made you watch it already.
Any of his movies that I've watched, like, I've liked. So, I mean, like, he was a great, great actor.
I honestly thought I made you watch it a couple months ago when I was started writing this one. When I first got on this topic of Robin Williams.
You know, my memory's shot.
You can't remember anything unless it was 4 years ago, you're right.
Yeah, or longer.
Yeah. So, quit reading over my shoulder.
I'm sorry. Because
I know you're
really
doing
hard.
That. And you're getting a little anxious. How are you feeling before I move on to the next?
I'm wondering if I have a person in my mind, and it's not someone that I bet you put on your list, but it's definitely someone that I would be happy to talk about. So I'm here. I'm curious to see if he made your list.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. So another famous suicide death we're going to talk about was on May 2nd, 2012. This was when an American football 10-time All-Pro, 12-time Pro Bowl selection, and named the NFL 1990s All-Decade Team, Junior Seau.
Oh my God.
Was found dead. This man was considered one of the best linebackers in the NFL. I mean, I assume that's an amazing compliment because, you know me, I don't know nothing about foosball. So we'd have to go by the other's opinions here because I don't know. I don't know how he played. I don't know, you know, very any of that. But
nonetheless, like, I think what goes to say about a lot of linebacker. This is...
Sounds great.
Not only is he great at football, but, like, he's really great at football.
No, like, and fucking awesome.
And even that didn't prevent him from feeling shit.
Yeah.
To get him to this point. And I think that that's what people, you know, they think, oh, you know, he was a, you know, a football player. He
had all the accolades in the world. The best career.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you don't understand what people are going through.
Exactly.
And you just really don't know.
Exactly. So, with Junior Seau, like I said, he was, you know, considered the best linebacker in the NFL in general. Like, the best one. One of the best. Like... Great.
Crazy.
So, he played for the San Diego Chargers, the Miami Dolphins, and the New England Patriots. These are actually all teams I've heard of, guys, so that's great.
Oh, good job.
But back on the sad note here, Junior Seau, he did die. He shot himself in the chest at the age of 43.
Oh, my God.
His girlfriend.
In the chest?
In the chest. He was 43. God. 4-3, Katie. So not that old. His girlfriend found him dead with a gunshot wound to the chest at his home in Oceanside. He did not leave a suicide note, but had scribbled some lyrics to his favorite country song, in which the song depicts a man who regrets the person he has become.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, that's actually, I think I put it right here in my notes. That's sad to think about, you know, in his last moments that, you know, those are the type of things going through your mind. You writing down lyrics to a song, you know, where a man who's regretting his life.
It's fucked up.
The autopsy report released later in August of 2012 indicated that his body contained no illegal drugs or alcohol. But traces of, say that one, zolpidem. You should know how to say that.
Zolpidem.
That's not it. Ambien, basically. Gotcha. So he was prescribed Ambien for a sleep disorder. There were no signs of brain damage were found in that autopsy. So this was proven to be untrue when the Seau family donated Junior's brain to the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Wow.
Which, this is part of the National Institute of Health, NIH. You'll probably hear me say that a couple times, NIH. So, National Institute of Health, remember it.
I'm not.
On January 10th.
You got the J. You was close.
Close. January 10th, 2013. The Seau family released the NIH's findings that his brain showed definite signs of CTE.
Wait. What is that abbreviation? No, just kidding. Go ahead.
NIH. Oh, wow. So they definitely had signs of CTE. So, you know, chronic traumatic. Say it.
Encephalopathy.
I don't think you said it right again.
No, I'm sorry, guys. It's CTE, chronic traumatic something with an E.
Well.
So, if you really need to look, you can look that up.
I can't say the word, but we all know what CTE is. It's a neurodegenerative disease that, you know, affects directly related to, like, blows to the head. So, I mean...
So common for football players.
Basically. It's a common disease that, you know, NFL players, other athletes involved in, you know, striking-based combat sports like boxing, mixed martial arts.
They said, what's his name had it?
Ice hockey, rugby, soccer. Who?
Aaron Hernandez, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's also something to think about, too. That's crazy.
He was a suicide, too. Do you think he's on the list?
I mean... Zona. He already did one football player. You're not a huge football person, but it could be. He was a big one, so.
You may not be wrong. He could be who you I was may talking be right. About. I don't know. You'll have to see. That could be who you was talking about.
Yeah, that no, could be I who's on it. My list.
I doubt it.
Why? Because you was looking over my shoulder to see who I typed.
Nope. Okay. I just probably have it on my list. Like I said, any striking-based combat sports, you know, the disease often worsens over time. Symptoms can include disorientation, dizziness, behavior problems, mood problems, confusion, or just problems with thinking. So when it gets worse, the symptoms progress as well to include memory loss, social instability, impulsive behavior, and poor judgment. All to finish with movement disorders, dementia, speech impediments, tremors, vertigo, deafness, depression, and suicide ideation.
I think that, God, having to deal with all that, I mean,
For a game, for a sport, you know, that's crazy. I would never.
I mean, some of those things I could see and I can, you know, like, okay, that makes sense. I feel some of these ways too. But like the movement dementia, the speech impediments, vertigo, deafness, and tremors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All from playing football, getting your head bashed with a helmet on. They didn't even play football with helmets for, like, I think 50 to 100 years. It was, like, some crazy amount. If you could Google it, that'd be great. But there was a long time before they even started wearing fucking helmets playing football. So, I mean, you gotta think. That's not good just to keep hitting your head into something over and over and over again.
Yeah, because, it, like, literally your brain, like, I know they say that, like, people don't believe that. But your head literally can shake against your, like, your skull.
Yeah,
like,
I get migraines. Migraines are literally your brain swelling into your skull.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you do that anyway and just hit your head into something? Over and over.
Yeah, constantly.
Like, the fuck, bruh? I mean, I'm not gonna judge anyone if that's what you want to do with your life, but there are risks, guys.
Involved, yeah.
Risks. And, I mean, unfortunately, this disease is not something that can be diagnosed on a living person. So, a clear diagnosis of this disease is only possible during an autopsy. So, you could never know. Even though the signs show in those with CTE, there is no definitive test, like I said, to prove the existence in a living person. So, these signs are very similar to those conditions like Alzheimer's. They can't tell you whether you have it or not while you're living. You have to be dead for them to diagnose you with that, unfortunately.
Which is super fucked.
I mean, I believe there may be other reasons. I don't want to get my head chopped off or any settlements or anything like that, but it could be due to the
The nulf.
You know what that means, yeah. Right? The nulf.
I think we all get that.
You get it. Yeah. If you don't get it.
They're a powerful industry.
Yeah, I mean, they're a multi-billion-dollar industry. I mean, there may be a reason why there's no test to prove CTE. But here I am making my podcast, doing my job.
That's so sad, though. Like, I hate that. I mean, because I definitely felt like that came in, that obviously came into play. I mean, if he was feeling any or all of these things, then that's super fucked.
Because getting hit in the head, you know, over and over.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. On January 23rd, 2013, the Seau family sued the NFL over the brain injury suffered by Junior throughout his career. You know, that first autopsy, they said there was no injuries to his brain.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go through? I don't understand.
The North Pole.
Yeah, the North.
No, I'm just kidding.
North. So
we're talking about that.
So the Seau family, like I said, sued the NFL over the brain injuries suffered by Junior throughout the career. The lawsuit ended with a settlement for the family, though. The settlement was upwards to $765 million. Whoop, whoop.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean,
that's a nice settlement, but honestly, personally, I don't know, because you lost a loved one.
No amount.
Due to blows to the head, and, you know, things like brain injuries, like, that's crazy. The Sayoff attorney reported that they were pleased with the resolution. Thank goodness. Prayers to you guys.
Yeah. God, I mean, I don't know how I feel about the whole lawsuit scene. I mean, obviously you deserve that money and you lost someone, but at the same time, it's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not sure, like, how I feel about that. That's, like you said, that's not giving you your loved one back. So what is that really giving you at the end of the day?
Right.
Hey guys, I wanted to tell you about this awesome new thing. Stranger Danger Safety Keychain. What in the world is that, you might ask? The founder, Robin, she started making these safety keychains for her daughters. Two are nurses and one's a teacher, so she felt like she could help them a little bit when out and about, and in return that makes her feel better. These safety keychains come with several safety features: a personal alarm, a whistle, hand sanitizer bottle, a hands-free door opener with stylus to push elevator door buttons or use on your phone, and a car safety tool, which actually cuts the seatbelt and breaks glass in emergency. If you want to feel safer or keep a loved one safe, visit www.strangerdangersafetychain.com. They are actually on Facebook and Instagram, so check them out, and you can use a code KILLERSTCP and get 10% off, free shipping, and also remember to, you know, stay safe out there.
Do you have a badass company that you're really wanting us to promote because we're a badass podcast? Well, guess what? We can make some shit shake. So we've got 30-second slots up to a minute, and we would love to help you out and to get your word out there. So just hit us up.
KillersAllAroundUs@gmail.com, and we'll work that shit out.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
The next celebrity suicide I want to talk about, it's fucking crazy to me. Because when I actually heard this, I was mind blown. I was fucked. Because I stayed watching this fucking show, The Famous Jet Jackson. You know what that show is on Disney?
Yeah, that's super fucked. And I didn't even know that until, like, way after the fact.
It's fucked up. Like I said, I stayed watching Jet Jackson, man. I thought I was Jet Jackson then, you know, fucking you fire you on were. That shit. The American actor, obviously his name is Lee Thompson Young. He was also in other classics. Johnny Tsunami.
Yeah.
That was my movie. He was Sam Sterling in that movie. Mm-hmm. The Jet Jackson movie. Friday Night Lights. You might not have remembered him in that, but he was in that. He was in other TV shows, too, like Smallville, Scrubs. My guy was even in the freaking Hills Have Eyes 2 now. Come on. My man had a resume.
Yeah.
He had a good resume.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, that sucks.
On August 19th, 2013, police were called to do a wellness check after he failed to show up to film an episode of Rizzoli and Isles. Because, yeah, check your boy out.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, where you at?
Upon entering his Los Angeles apartment, he was found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the right temple while sitting on the couch of his apartment. Mm. The .40 caliber semi-automatic registered to Young was recovered from the scene. He left no note, and no specific reason is still, you know, known. It's very unclear. His friend, since they were teens, was quoted by the nydailynews.com saying, quote, he was ill, you just don't do this, and other things about how religious Lee had become and how close he was to his mother and sister. At the time of his death, Lee Thompson Young was 29. He was also taking medications to battle his history of bipolar disorder and depression. It was also said that the last time he spoke with his doctor was on April 14th. 5 days prior. And the doctor reported... And the doctor reported he was known to be taking his medication and appeared okay. His autopsy...
Like, don't we all? To our doctors, you literally see them for 5 seconds when you go in.
Right. His autopsy showed his prescribed medicines, lithium, which is used to treat and prevent episodes of mania in people with bipolar disorder, and Seroquel, which is, you know, an antipsychotic, which is used to treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and major depressive disorder. In his blood, they found no traces of opiate, no alcohol, no other drugs in his system. Officials said Young's doctor was not aware of any financial problems or suicide threats or attempts. In Young's closet, they found a makeshift altar. This was made, it had miscellaneous religious items displayed. His friends report that he was using the religious items and the religion because he yearned for enlightenment and may have been too sensitive for this world.
That's so sad. Like, just to know where these people's mindsets are, it just really sucks to lose another celebrity, you know, that we grew up with to this. People are just suffering in silence.
Yeah. His family launched the Lee Thompson Foundation in effort to bring awareness and help remove the stigma surrounding mental illness.
That's awesome.
So if you guys feel like you can or need the Lee Thompson Foundation help.
Yeah, that is awful. R.I.P. to both of the people that you just mentioned, like, and all of the people. It's super fucked up.
I'm sorry to take you on this roller coaster.
It's okay.
We all need it. It's an enlightening experience. It's a trigger. It's supposed to get you to know that help is out there.
I think it's safe to say, like, with my experience with my mental illness, like, it's sad to see the different phases that you go through, you know, with the mania and then, you know, even like the religious items, like trying to figure out with a different path, like why things are going on with you and trying to justify and make it make sense. And for as far as other people not noticing, that is nothing. That is literally nothing, because I think that we all like to put on a show that we're fine. And at the end of the day, we don't want other people to see us as, you know, anything but okay. And and so that's why people suffer in silence.
That's true. I mean, you know, hold things in from your spouse, you hold things in from your parents, you hold things in from your children, you know, continue bottling in emotions and things like that, and then you have mental illness and depressions and things like that that affect you as well. It all comes weighing down on you, you know, in multiple different ways. So, I mean, that's why I said this is here. We want to make sure that you're heard, everyone, including me, including my wife, including you listening at home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're here. I'm here. You're here.
Yeah.
We're here for each other. We're here for you.
For sure.
So let us know if you need some help. I have two more.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna drag you anymore, you know, through this emotional roller coaster, guys, because I know it's hard and it's a tough listen. I mean, that's the point. It's a tough listen. It's a tough subject, you know.
But that's why, like I said in the beginning, that's why it's so important to talk about. Because people, like I said, are people suffer in silence. And it's time that we all say that we want people to treat mental illness like they would treat
a health illness.
But until us, the people that suffer from mental illness, come out and speak out about it, and talk about it and make it more, like, less taboo, the more it's going to stay the way that it is.
100%.
And we got to get rid of the stigma.
Yes. Yes. That is, like, goal number one we need to get through and make sure that everyone knows that mental health is health. We need to make sure we have our health together, just like you have to make sure your body is in check with your doctors telling you. If you need more vitamin D, damn it, take more vitamin D.
Yeah.
You know?
If you need lithium.
Take fucking that lithium, damn it. Chemical imbalances are fucked up, just like your body gets fucked up and you have the same thing, a chemical imbalance and you need an assistant. Let's talk about it, you know?
Anything. And like, and I think that a lot of people, like, you know, medication's not for everyone. Go see a therapist. That could be for you.
Yes.
Both could be for you. Going to meetings, talking to people. A lot of different ways. Don't ever feel like you don't have resources, because you do.
Another celebrity suicide I want to touch on here. I'm sure this may be the one you were thinking. It's American singer, songwriter, and occasional actor, Chester Charles Bennington.
Definitely was him. Definitely was Chester.
I knew it.
It was heartbreaking. It was a heartbreaking one for me to see. Because of his family and his kids and, oh my God.
It was awful. It was awful. I agree. He, obviously, she knows who he is. He was best known as the lead vocalist of Linkin Park.
I mean, and if you grew up in our generation, like, they're, like, Linkin Park was, like, one of the only, like, real, like, punk rock, like, one of the main ones. Like, it was Linkin Park.
Show me a Linkin Park song right now.
I tried so hard. Hey. Well, listen. In the end, it doesn't even matter. That's what's fucked up. Like, people want to sit back and say that they don't know what the fuck's going on, but people be telling you, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. That's a fucked up lyric if you really think about it.
I hope that's them. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. She had me singing along with her, guys. So, let's move on past that embarrassing struggle. So, you looked it up and it's right, huh?
It's right. We're good.
Ah!
You could cut that part out so it makes it look like I really did know what I was talking about, because I did. Okay, go ahead.
We're good. We're good. So, I'm struggling right now, obviously.
Blah.
But Chester, he did struggle with depression. Same. And substance abuse.
Same.
And for most of his life, starting in childhood, and was open about it. You know, so, I mean, fucked up. He was substance abuse as a child. So, this happens while he was on vacation with his wife and family. Chester actually returned home alone, saying he had to work because, you know, Linkin Park had a photo shoot actually scheduled the next morning on July 12th. That's not a 12, that's a 20.
That's the 20th.
July 20th. Sorry.
It's a good thing that I am looking and watching you.
Yeah. TMZ reported the police found a partially empty bottle of alcohol in the bedroom where he died. Chester was found dead by hanging the morning of July 20th, 2017, by his housekeeper in his home in Palm Verdes Estates, California. Bennington's close family and friends were shocked to hear the news of his death by suicide. Many friends have stories of how well things were going at the time of Chester's death and had written 6 new songs a month prior to his death.
None of that matters. Like, I mean, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying none of that matters.
Like, your voice matters. So explain it.
I think depression is a day-by-day battle and struggle. So you might be feeling great and making these songs one day, and then the next day it hits you, and you don't have a say anymore. Like, it's that controlling.
I agree. It is a day-by-day.
So just because I'm good tomorrow or today doesn't mean I'm going to be good tomorrow.
I'm glad you said that, because literally the next few lines, it's a month prior to Chester's death. He opens up to one of his longtime friends, Ryan Shuck, about how he was 6 months sober and described his battle with addiction, describing how it was an hour-by-hour battle. So he literally took his, not even day by day, he was struggling hour by hour and would describe his struggle through each hour of the day. Chester was texting Robert DeLeo, his bandmate in the Stone Temple Pilots, a few days before his death. His messages were loving, positive, forward-looking to the future, all kinds of things, and growing old. Bennington emailed former Guns N' Roses drummer Matt Sorum, saying he'd like to perform again with the all-star cover band, Kings of Chaos. Some of Chester's friends now feel that they overlooked signs of the singer's dark side, which he called his dark passenger, which is obviously a reference to the force that motivated the serial killer on TV show Dexter.
Yes.
That was my shit, Dexter. Yeah. So I feel him with the dark passenger side. That's something, you know. But, you know, with that, he had been creeping, you know, back into his life, the dark passenger, basically. Bennington had gone to rehab around 2006, appeared to be sober in the years after, but friends say he suffered a 3-day relapse last August. Not last August, but the August before he died. I don't know why I said last August.
Like his last August.
Right. During which he blacked out from alcohol and had still been drinking as recently as October. Chester's death is still resonating amongst his fans, who experienced a shockwave when the news reached the public. The National Suicide Prevention Line says it received 14% spikes in calls on the day after the news broke. 10 days after Bennington's death, the singer, his home was circled with temporary 6-foot fence. A police cruiser sat outside as fans left flowers, drawings, signs, guitar picks, and crosses on its perimeter.
I mean, they were huge. Especially, like, I mean, I wasn't even really that type of music a fan of that.
Lies.
And I mean, I wasn't a huge Linkin Park fan. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I loved Linkin Park.
You was a dark soul. You liked...
No, I mean, I did like that kind of stuff, but I didn't like Linkin Park per se. But like I said, I mean, they were a respectable, completely respectable band. Like, I can't, when that happened, like, it blew our mind, I feel like.
I believe it. You said you had something to add with that.
Yeah, so I didn't think you were going to have Chester on your list, so when I looked it up, I just thought it was crazy to, like, because it's, like, crazy to hear about, like, moments before people pass away, actually. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird, but one of his bandmates actually went on to say that, like, he remembers, like, the last performance before, and it was just, like, he looks back and it was like very obvious, like he was saying, like, you know, he was very depression. He was very fragile. It said he was very somber and fragile. It said that his voice was full of joy but pain and anger, but also forgiveness, love and heartache all wrapped into one. I suppose that's what we all are. You helped me understand that.
Mm.
So that was one of the people that, I mean, they had been a band since the early 2000s. So, it's crazy. I think anyone would do that when they think about their last moments with people before they would make that decision. And, God. Because, you know, you just overanalyze things and you would just think back and be like, why?
Why?
Why didn't I? What could I have done? It's so hard. And, like, I think the people that have depression, like, and deal with that, they don't blame anyone. And I think that a lot of people think that they wish that other people would reach out to them, and but it's not always about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, but you have to be open and honest. It's rough. You know, you have those issues, those suicidal ideations, suicidal thoughts. I mean, you have to be open and honest about it. You can't hide that and keep that to yourself. Depression is a struggle. I deal with depression. It's a struggle. I deal with anxiety. It's a struggle. I mean, like you said, it's a day by day. Like he said, hour by hour, even. Because, I mean, in a day, I could have like 17 different anxiety attacks just for different reasons. Any different reason, just feeling overwhelmed. Say I got 2-3 calls in a row and I'm overwhelmed by that right now. Like, I feel like I need to take a break and take a breather. Like, that, to me, I feel like is, you know, resolving my issue. But others, you know, you have to know how to deal with your stuff. You have to, you know, ask for help. You got to, you know when it's a joke and when it's not. Because really, it's not a joke.
Well, and that's just, like, goes back to, like, the lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, he was feeling some sort of pain.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan, obviously. I didn't listen to any kind of... I listened to rap and R&B and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know any of the lyrics, but, I mean,
yeah. The song was literally called, like, In the End.
In the End, wow.
Like, I mean, it's just,
it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, like, and, like, I think that, you know, especially, like, his wife and, like, people that know about, like, your mental illnesses and stuff like that, it's, like, there's only a certain point that you can do to try to help those people and just be there to support them. And it's awful when that happens. Right. I really feel bad for his wife and his family and him, what he had to go through.
Yeah. So, lastly, I mean, I want to touch on this little bit here. The reason I came to this celebrity, it's another kind of celebrity, actually. She's 19-year-old TikToker Caitlin Lohn. She was famous on the internet for farming and her nature-based videos from Australia. Lohn was a fourth-generation farmer with an interest in filmmaking, online content, and football.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm going to pause here because I don't know this to be true or not, but this is the reason I found her, is because I was looking into this. I found, you know, viral sensation on TikTok that was called the Blackout Challenge. Okay. So, this What's is basically...
that? For all of us old heads, because, you know, we didn't know.
This basically dares the TikTok user to choke themselves until they are unconscious.
Okay, I think maybe I did hear about that, but I don't know.
So, this challenge led to several deaths, including, you know, like a 12-year-old and 10-year-olds, and so I don't understand why, you know, that would be a challenge, and what would be the goal in the challenge.
How do you win the challenge? You win at do you the win end?
if you don't die? Or you win if you do die? I don't.
I'm not trying to make light of these children making these stupid decisions, because obviously. They're children. You know, our generation, or maybe before us, was like Huff and Paint.
Right.
You know, and then the Tide Pods was the next generation, you know? So it's like, we all have done some really stupid shit in remember when they wouldn't even, I think you still can't buy rubber cement. Like, I think you have to, like, be, like, over a certain age to buy rubber cement.
And that air duster.
Yeah.
The air dusters for your keyboard.
You're welcome, like, guys. Thanks. That's us.
Thanks a lot.
That was us back in the day.
Like, you fuck up.
Not, like, us personally, but, like, us as a generation. No, I never
did that. Our generation did that, too. Like, you fucking fuck ups.
Right.
I've known a few people that did that. And they were like, you want to try it? I'm like, I'm good. No, I don't want to blow cold, weird air into, no, I'm good.
I'm good. Good on that.
But if you did it, that's your choice. I'm not judging you for it, but moving forward, let's talk about Caitlin again. So, actually, I don't know any of that to be, you know, her case or anything like that, that actually she tried the challenge or anything like that. So, don't take that as word as how she's passed or anything like that. Because I don't know that to be true, and I did not say that is how she'd passed, because they don't release that, honestly. Like I said, Lone was a fourth-generation farmer. She had the interest in filmmaking and the online content making, you know? So she was held as an icon of inspiration for young girls looking to get into the field of agriculture. The young creator had a base of 50,000 fans on TikTok.
Wow, she's booming.
Fans of the late TikToker were shocked to find out the news, as she was described as happy and easygoing. She had not shared about her mental health situations in the past. She died days after posting a clip of her lip-syncing to a country song with the lyrics, "How far would you drive for a girl of your dreams?" with the caption, "Tasmania?" with the question mark. Some say this is a haunting video, but I don't think that. Yeah. I mean, I just think either way she was hopeful, you know, of someone out there or just making content for her page, really, because, I mean, that was a trend as well. That
for sure.
Nothing really out of the norm, I don't think. But her mom, Rochelle, told the Daily Mail, quote, "At a loss for words, there's no answer for us. There's no reason, no whys. She had a crop in the ground. Her future was extremely bright." Caitlin's dad, Philip, said, quote, "She felt strongly about her family farming history, and he remembered her saying, 'Dad, this is where I'm meant to be. It's where I want to be.'" She genuinely, guys, she loved working on the farm. It wasn't just a mundane task, you know, she would have to do. Caitlin Lone, she was 19 when she died by suicide on January 8th, 2021. And like I said prior, the way she died, she did complete suicide, but that hasn't been released as to how. Which, I mean, we all have to respect the family for wanting things to be kept private.
Yes, for sure. Well, RIP to her, and anyone, please don't play those stupid games. Though I really hope that that's not what happened there. God, rest in peace. And the farm.
Everything.
Now she can't farm no more. Make those cool TikTok videos. You know I'm scared of farm animals, so I'm trying to keep my fears, you know, to a subtle.
I can't. I
cannot. No, but on a serious note, RIP.
Definitely. Mm. So.
Definitely.
I mean, that was my last celebrity suicide. Is there any other comments you want to make? Any celebrities that you know offhand that you may want to mention before I continue?
No, the only one, like I said, Amy Winehouse, I think, shook our time frame, like our generation a lot.
I definitely seen Amy Winehouse a lot when I was researching this subject, but that is questionable. Did she really commit suicide?
Or did she just overdose?
Did she just overdose?
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy on it, and I think that...
I didn't research it too much, but it could be a good case just in general one day. So I didn't want to bring that into the mix, so...
And then the other one, she, I guess, not necessarily was, like, a huge celebrity. She was,
The Miss America?
Yeah, she won Miss America, and she committed suicide, and it was just really awful. And that was more recently.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it's just, it sucks. It happens everywhere.
I mean, yeah.
When we see it in celebrities, though, I think a lot of people don't suspect it.
Just in everyday life, I mean, I'm sure you could probably think of someone who either has committed or knows someone in their family who's committed suicide. I personally know this guy, like I had seen him just coming over to the house, you know, one day. One of the friends, you know, coming over, he was an older guy, I don't know, probably in his... But he came over, you know, one week, the next week, they called and said he committed suicide. He was in a... you know, perfectly okay mood, smoked a blunt, just chilled, you know, And next week he committed suicide.
You just don't know what's going through people's brain.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucked. It's a fucked situation. I mean, to be at a battle with yourself every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Before, you know, we go into wrapping up everything, I do want to go over a few things again with suicides. Because some suicides are impulsive acts, like I said, just due to stress. Such as from financial, academic difficulties, relationship problems, or harassment and bullying. Some people see that as the only way out. Suicide and suicide attempts cause serious emotional, physical, and economic impacts. The health and well-being of friends, loved ones, co-workers, and the community. When people die by suicide, their surviving family and friends may experience shock, anger, guilt, symptoms of depression or anxiety, and may even experience the thoughts of suicide themselves. Research, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, I've mentioned them prior before, guys. Mm-hmm. They state that, you know, although more women than men attempt suicide, men are nearly four times more likely to die by suicide.
Yeah, to be successful. I have heard that. So, I think, I don't know. I wonder what that is. Maybe the way that they
attempt
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the good news, though, I mean, I guess if you can say it's good news, is that more people, percent of people, actually, who attempt suicide and survive never go on to die by suicide. So, I guess if that, you know, if you take that suicide attempt, then you have a 90% chance of, you know, if you don't die, to never go on and try and do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, often those who attempt and complete suicide often struggle with, like I said, some mental health issues. NAMI researchers have found that 46% of people who die by suicide had a known mental health condition with several other factors, putting a person in risk, including a family history of suicide, substance use, because, you know, obviously drugs are bad.
Bad.
And, you know, drugs can create mental highs and lows that worsen suicidal thoughts. So, clearly that's not, you know, something you need to be doing. Intoxication, more than one in three people who die from suicide are under the influence of alcohol at the time of their death. To, you know, NAMI as well, access to firearms and a serious chronic medical illness also, you know, to Mental Health America, the most common underlying disorder is depression. 30-70% of suicide victims suffer from major depression or bipolar manic depressive disorder. It's tough out here, guys.
Hello.
Everyone struggling know that mental health professionals are trained to help people understand their feelings, improve mental wellness, and resiliency. Psychotherapy like cognitive behavior therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, they can help, you know, they can help a person with thoughts of suicide recognize ineffective patterns of thinking and behavior. They can validate their feelings and learn coping skills. Definitely good resources here. Mm-hmm. Suicidal thoughts are a symptom, guys, just like any other symptom. They can be treated and they can improve over time. People often believe this is a selfish act when someone commits suicide, but in reality, they are suffering to a point to where their brain is not functioning correctly. This is the thing you could say to a person who has contemplated, or to someone's loved one who has completed suicide. This is not someone who has just decided they want to die. In most cases, it is someone suffering to the point to where they can't take it anymore. You know, the pain or the pressure. A mental health condition is as serious as any other health issues and should be treated as such.
Yeah, preach.
Touch base again, because, you know, this is because of the suicidal thoughts, you know, have been coming to me basically since I've been a preteen. So, you know, obviously that's what, this is kind of why I wanted to touch base with it. Things have just always seemed like, you know, I can't handle it. I want to give up. Just in the last couple years, I've been, you know, able to really look at my mental health. During COVID, I felt myself really slipping away.
Yeah.
I got with a doctor. I was put on anxiety and depression medicine for a while. It worked. I felt good. Then shortly after moving to St. Louis and not going to a doctor and starting my new position here, with all the adjustments and the pressure to keep things going was hard. And I just started feeling like it was too much again. I had no medicine, had not had my medicine for any, you know, a number of months since we had moved here. I was literally having suicidal thoughts every day. I mean, I don't know as my wife if you knew that, but that's something that was going on. I was having suicidal thoughts every day, almost at least once every day. On top of my anxiety attacks, the mountains of work I had every day, I felt myself physically and emotionally drained when getting home. I wouldn't want to do anything but lay down, smoke a blunt, watch TV with my depression hoodie on, and covers. Responsibilities at home slack with my wife, my daughter, which only made the depression worse. Literally, the one chore I do daily, taking out the trash, seemed like the final straw for me. I felt like, you know, I had tried. I looked into making doctor's appointments as like a virtual visit because, you know, anxiety and, you know, I don't want to go into to the doctor sometimes. I don't know. It's weird, guys. I don't know.
No, I think people can relate to that because with the virtual, with mental health, it makes it easier so you don't have to step out of your comfort zone.
Things wouldn't connect while I was on the virtual visit. Something happened, so I gave up, you know, basically. I gave up with the doctor's appointment for a while again. You know, I felt going into a new doctor to explain my mental health just felt like a lot. Like I said, you know, I felt like they would treat me like I was a liar or a drug addict or something because, you know, mental health, guys, come on. Mm-hmm. Thanks to my amazing wife over here. She basically forced me to go by setting up another doctor's appointment after seeing me for months, just trying to deal. I mean, she forced my hand and made me go to a doctor's appointment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you needed it.
Like, after months for just trying to deal, like I said, a month or so since going, and already my suicidal thoughts have reduced, but sometimes they're still prevalent. I'm not going to lie. I want to share my experience to let everyone know there is help and keeping things to yourself will not help. Also, if someone brings things to your attention, you need to make sure they are good, even if they do it in a joking manner. I used to do that shit all the time, knowing my ass would really have serious thoughts. I have never gone further than thoughts because I feel like I could never do that, but sometimes things build and build without any release of tension, and it can be detrimental to your mental state. I just want everyone to take a second to realize you are loved, and most times things are hard to deal with, but try to keep in mind you are doing awesome, and this is what you're going through, not who you are.
Yeah, for sure. And you're not alone. So many people deal with this. Obviously, you heard the stats.
I did want to mention to you here because this was found literally 28th. I was looking this up, incident report here. So it says approximately 5:30 p.m. Creve Coeur Police dispatch. Creve Coeur is actually very close to us, like literally spit on. Creve Coeur Police dispatch was advised of a male subject who was in emotional distress, seated in a parked vehicle in the Mercy Hospital ER parking lot. The caller advised that the subject had a gun. Upon arrival, Creve Coeur Police Department officers set up a perimeter and and attempted to communicate with the subject, who was the sole occupant of the vehicle. Shortly thereafter, the subject fired a shot inside the vehicle and suffered a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was immediately transported to the hospital emergency department, where he succumbed to his injuries. Creve Coeur PD investigators were notified and are on scene investigating. No other subjects were injured during the incident. Identity of the subject and further details on this incident are not immediately available. Mercy Hospital Emergency Department remains open, but officers may be remaining on scene for a period of time. So, literally, while I was looking up things for this episode, you know, when I wrote this episode, this was the day, the same day I was looking this up. There was someone that committed suicide, literally by a gunshot wound. I mean, every 11 minutes, guys. Every 11 minutes.
Yeah. Wow.
Obviously, again, guys, you know, I gave you all this information in the beginning, so you can clearly go back and rewind and catch this back. But I'm going to give it to you again here, you know, because it's real.
Yeah, and before we moved on, I just, like, would like to say thanks for being so transparent with everyone. I think a lot of people, you know, they have a hard time coming forth with their issues, and everyone's at a different point in their journey, and yeah, so I think it's important to say thanks for at least being transparent and open with our listeners, and know that you guys have a voice too, and there are people out there. So yeah, Justin, you want to read that contact one more time for us?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, if you or someone you know has expressed suicide ideas, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can use the online crisis chat. Both are free and confidential. You'll be connected to a skilled trained counselor in your area. For more information, you can also connect 24/7, you know, the anytime, any day. That's what 24/7 means, Young Jin. I don't know if you know. Information, you can also connect 24/7 to a crisis counselor by texting the crisis text line. Text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to the number 741741. Guys, you can reach out to us as well. I mean, I check the Gmail account daily. So if you need to contact us as well, don't hesitate, for Please. Sure. I mean, there will never be any judgment. I love you guys. We love you guys. I told you my story here about, you know, my issues. Why wouldn't I listen to yours?
Yeah. So please, if you guys ever need anything, if you need help finding additional resources or anything, please let someone know. Let a loved one know. Let us know. Don't suffer in silence. But yeah, so that was a rough one. I'm happy that we were able to go over it. So yeah, we can't wait to hear about your next one. I'm excited for that. You know, we will see what's gonna happen. We're gonna see what's gonna happen in that next one. So as always, this is a comma crime podcast hosted by husband and wife duo Justin and Katie Daniels. This is a true crime pod that has our spin on the case and suspects. We're saying everything in respect of the victims and their families. This is our lighthearted way of bringing you the case with as much accuracy as we do research. You can hit us up with case suggestions. Just make sure to add case suggestions in the subject line. Our Gmail is killersallaroundus@gmail.com. Our Facebook is Killers All Around Us, a true crime podcast. Our Twitter, @AroundKillers, Killers All Around Us. Instagram, @KillersAllAroundUs. And then, of course, our website, Killers All Around Us, a true crime podcast .wordpress.com. And until next time, guys.
All right, guys.
We love you, and
That was a rough one. The next one, it's gonna be a rough one too, but
in a different way.
Hopefully we won't all get emotional, and we might though.
You never know. All right.
Stranger Danger Safety Keychains. What is that? These are safety keychains that the founder, Robin, started making for her daughters. She's got two that are nurses and one is a teacher. So she felt that she could help them out a little bit when they're out and about. And in return, that makes her feel a lot better. These safety keychains come with several safety features. A personal alarm, a whistle, hand sanitizer, a hands-free door opener with a stylus to push elevator doors open, or you can use it on your phone, and a car safety tool which cuts the seatbelt and breaks glass in an emergency. If you want to feel safer or keep a loved one safer, visit StrangerDangerSafetyKeychain.com. That's StrangerDangerSafetyKeychain.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. That's where I found her. So check them out. When ordering, definitely don't forget to use the promo code KILLERSTCP. Get 10% off, free shipping. And always remember, stay safe out there.
Do you have a badass company that you're really wanting us to promote because we're a badass podcast? Well, guess what? We can make some shit shake. So we've got 30-second slots up to a minute, and we would love to help you out and get your word out there. So just hit us up.
KillersAllAroundUs@gmail.com, and we'll work that shit out.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Got a few outtakes for you here, motherfuckers. Hope you enjoy.
Here y'all go.
Hey, this is a test. I want to see how the microphone sounds today with this just no
what microphone. What up? What up? What up? No microphone in this motherfucker.
So, now I'm going to go in and connect headphones to see how that sounds after. This recording just has headphones. Let's see how this one sounds.
Let's see what it sounds like.
Sound more cheerful.
Let's see what it sounds like.
And maybe it's better, maybe not. I don't know. This one has our full-blown anchor mic. Let's see how that sounds for us.
Let's see if it works.
Because sometimes it's a little messed up and there's some scratchies in it. And I want to see, you know, what it sounds like actually with the mic. Because sometimes there's like a little... and it makes me want to pull my fucking hair out.
Yeah, we can't do it.